And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I mean, to talk about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Well, hey, we're going to bring somebody on the show right now. I'm proud to have served in the legislature at the same time as he. He is still down there right now. State Representative and Minority Leader of the House, Anthony Daniels. He serves, has been there since 2014, I believe, serving House District 53 from up in the Huntsville area. So without further ado, let me bring him on right now. Representative Daniels, how you doing today?
Doing good, Senator. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thanks for making time. I know it's a busy day. You just went back into session, so we appreciate you making some time for Right Side Radio.
No, thank you guys for having me. It's always important.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, and I am obviously a conservative Republican. You are the minority leader of the Democrat Party, but I've said on my show multiple times, if I see what I like, I dislike it. And one of the things you've got right now is a bill that deals with taxation and actually reducing the amount that we pay for income tax on overtime pay. So give us the genesis of I've never thought of this. So give us the genesis of this.
Well, thank you again for having me. So it's essentially a way to be able to reward work in individuals that are currently in the work in the market right now working. What this would do is a person who works full time works, you know, makes $15 an hour and get paid every other week. If they worked 20-hour shifts, so 10 hours per week, which will equal 50 hours a week, they would receive right now their paycheck for full-time 40 hours, and at 10 hours overtime will be $960 every 2 weeks. And that's after tax. And so right now, that person, if we are able to pass this legislation, it would allow that person to be able to make $1,140 after taxes if we eliminate the state portion of the tax on overtime.
Wow. Yeah, that's just cool. And that's assuming, I saw the article, your op-ed on this, that's assuming they had like a $15 wage per hour, correct?
Absolutely. And so for any, this applies to any hourly worker that's out there working. Right now, Phil, you go from Mobile to Huntsville, even beyond, you're seeing all these now hiring signs everywhere.
Yeah.
And so my this idea is, how do we take care of our supply chain issue? How do we start the process of taking care of our supply chain issue, but also increasing productivity? Because if I'm a business and I have 80 employees, but I need to hire 100 in order to increase the productivity needed to be able to export goods and services, goods that I have that I'm developing within my manufacturer, then if all 80 individuals work 10 hours overtime, that's the equivalency of having 100 employees.
Yeah.
And so the productivity, it will increase productivity, but it will give that person an opportunity to make more money. And so if we eliminate the state portion, which is 5%, eliminate the state portion of overtime on just overtime pay, that individual will be able to take home, if they work 40, 50 hours every 2 weeks, they'll be able to take home 200 and some additional dollars. That's after taxes.
And I think the phrase you used a minute ago or something like it, which I love, is you're basically rewarding hard work. That's the kicker for me, is you're saying, hey, folks, get out there, do a little extra, go the extra mile. Your employer might need you on the job an extra 10 hours, and the employer's loving it, and you're actually getting more money because you stuck it out and worked 10 extra hours, but it boosted your pay. That's just, I've never thought of this before, and I'm kind of kicking myself for not thinking of it before.
Well, look, you know, at the end of the day, Phil, we probably didn't experience as much of the issues that we're experiencing today when you were in. The supply chain issues, the cost that we're experiencing at the grocery stores, the cost that we're experiencing all across the board. And so this is the time that we have to have very creative and innovative ideas in order to make the appropriate adjustments in this particular economy, because we're in a very tough situation. And we just got to find some solutions.
Yeah, and I tell you what else we didn't have when I was in. We didn't have budget surpluses like y'all have right now, which means you're probably at the best time ever to cut taxes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that there is some momentum around cutting taxes, and but we just got to do it in a very responsible and fiscal way that yields, that brings in revenue to keep us on the right path and trajectory that we're currently on.
So let me ask you before we run out of time, the other opportunity that's being talked about a lot, and I'm supportive of this and have been for a while, is eliminating the grocery tax. Alabama is one of only like 10 or 11 states that still taxes groceries at all. And of those 10 or 11, we're one of only three that taxes at the highest possible rate at the state level, which is 4% on the dollar. And, I used to get frustrated because it would get dropped in as a way to cut taxes back in the day, but only if you raise taxes elsewhere. And there's multiple proposals for this year. What do you see happening? Because I know you said also you're supportive of cutting the grocery tax. It's a very regressive tax. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, I think at some point we'll start negotiating to figure out the best course of action moving forward. There are three proposals out there. My proposal is as a result. I'm for total elimination of tax on groceries. That's number one.
All right.
But in order to reach more of a compromise on this particular issue, I'm proposing that we do a test. You know, there are individuals that talk about the revenue that's going to be lost in the Education Trust Fund as a result.
Right.
I tend to disagree with them because I think that where you may families may save on the taxes of groceries, but they're going to spend that money in other areas from a sales tax perspective. That's going to also feed back into the same budget that we apparently were able to remove the sales tax on grocery and experience somewhat of a loss. But in my mind, I think it's really down the road, it becomes a wash.
Yeah, I agree. More money in your pocket means you spend it somewhere else. Sales taxes are still a lot of clothes and other items you can buy, and then it comes back into the economy that way. I agree. It also just helps the consumer altogether. But right now, the big argument is that it's going to wind up being a $450 to $500 million hit if we just whack it overall. Are you suggesting a test on the whole grocery tax or phasing in, as some are suggesting?
So I'm suggesting that we take 2 months. We take June and we take December. June and December, Phil, and you know this better than anyone. June, that's when the kids are out of school for the summer, right?
Right.
So your grocery bill is going to be a lot higher in June.
Yeah.
And then in December, let's figure out a way to we have our kids going to be out 2 weeks in December, and families are going to be purchasing Christmas gifts, and Santa Claus is going to be bringing in gifts that cost parents, right? And so we're going to give families a relief at that time. And so we could look at those 2 months to determine real projections on, are we experiencing a significant loss in tax revenue, sales tax revenue, because we removed the sales tax off groceries? Or are we breaking even and folks are spending it in other areas that's making up for the shortfall that we are projected to lose? And so And so for me, let's test it out. Let's stop talking about we can't do it because of this or can't do it because of that. Let's test it out and look at FY 22, 21, June and December of those months, and compare it to FY 23 on a total elimination of grocery tax in June and December, and let's compare apples to apples.
Now that's perfect. So we're looking at a sales tax holiday for a couple of key months, and then taking the actual. This is just like when you do like economic incentives, you do an economic impact study to figure out what's going to happen if you do it one way or the other. And all you're doing here really is making an economic impact study with real data as opposed to projected data.
Absolutely.
So my wife just texted in and said, you're making Republicans look bad.
Well, look, Phil, you and I work together on things all the time.
Yeah.
And so I do think that there are a number of Republicans that have already co-sponsoring the removal of tax on sales tax and overtime pay. I mean, the tax on overtime pay.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, we have a good coalition that we're building. But in order for this to really become a reality, we need folks like you and others, your listeners and out there to really talk to the legislators while they're on spring break to let them know, hey, we want to see the tax removed off overtime pay, and we want to see a payroll, a grocery tax holiday in the month of June and December, just to test the theory that about the revenue that's going to be lost, which I think that it's I don't think there's going to be a loss in revenue, not at the amount that they're referencing.
Well, I completely agree, and I think it's a novel approach to both issues. And I salute you for it. And so you're gonna as long as we're not trying to raise taxes elsewhere to offset, you're gonna hear this radio show championing the cause the entire time. I'll tell you what, we got about 2.5 minutes left. Let me ask you a question about a side issue that I know you're co-sponsoring. It's a novel bill. It's totally off the subject here, but you're co-sponsoring a bill that I think is being carried by Representative Prince Chestnut that would ban the opportunity for employers to microchip their employees. So tell me about that.
Well, what we're trying to do right now, Phil, is, as you know, oftentimes we are always responding to it. Once something becomes a crisis, we're becoming reactive and responding to that crisis. But we're trying to be ahead of the curve. We see this coming. You know, at some point, there's already been talk in places like Wisconsin and other places. And so we're trying to preempt that conversation coming to Alabama, and really for once in a lifetime to actually focus on being more proactive than reactive. And so that's where we are on that piece of legislation. When Representative Chestnut came to me about it and told me about the incidents that have happened in Wisconsin, that scared me. And so for me, I'm like, guys, we got to do something about this. And so when he introduced the bill, I happily was co-sponsored it.
Well, it's you're right. It's cool, and I can see it coming. Just like you said, I've even talked about it on my show before. There are employer groups, like you said. I think Wisconsin was definitely one of them that actually have a microchip in their hand, and that's how they unlock doors, how they get food in the cafeteria, and it's basically how they control the flow of where you go and how you log into your computer, all kinds of stuff. And I'm just saying, hard no. That's just a hard
Absolutely.
No. Well, all right. Well, listen, I tell you what, State Representative and Minority Leader Anthony Daniels from Huntsville, House District 53, we're going to have to get you a Right Side Ruffian T-shirt. I'm pretty sure you've earned it. But
I appreciate that, Bill.
Well, thank you. And we're going to keep track of this over the session, maybe have you back on again soon. And if you hear some updates, you just call and let us know, all right?
Well, we're going to drop the bill this week.
Okay, outstanding. We'll be watching. Hey, thank you, sir, for your time. Have a great session.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Well, that was just cool. I mean, people are texting in right now, Boomer. Jim from Madison is saying, Phil, love Anthony Daniels' work. Good to see. I can't tell what he's talking about. He's talking about C-3PO on Star Wars. I don't know what that means. But does being a dim mean he's joined the dark side? Patrick from Grove Oak says, are you sure he's a Democrat? And somebody, Jerry from Meridianville, says the same thing. He says, is this guy sure he's a Democrat? I'm telling you, man. When I see something being done right, I don't give a rat's hind in which party carries the bill. I don't. As long as it's done right. And you know what? The idea of nothing in there, unless he changes the bill, he didn't say anything about having to raise taxes elsewhere to offset the reduction of taxes. He just said, let's try this. And what a novel approach. I'm sitting here, brother, I was the chair of the Committee on Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development in the Senate. I never thought of doing it these ways. That's just, I'm a little embarrassed. I'm just saying.
Hey, you know what? It's exactly what he said. It's a different time. And so this time calls for different things.
Okay. Thanks, Boomer. Appreciate
it. Making you feel better.
Well, that was pretty cool. And enjoyed hearing it. All right. Let's take us to a break, brother. We'll do that. We're going to come back. It is time to switch gears. We need to just get into some adventures in woke worlds, what I'm saying. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.